Let us lift our voice in praises. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 5, and we'll start on Revelation 4:9 and read then through Revelation 5:7. It's good to have been in services yesterday. We had a good time over at Brother Longoria's and everything. Brother Charlie Cox done a good job preaching there, and we had a good time fellowshipping together. And just remember, the Lord willing, Brother Collie will be speaking for you here Wednesday, and then next Sunday Brother Gibby and Brother Harris will be preaching. Now if something happens, they can change around or do whatever they need to do for the services, but that'll be it, because we're going up to Brother Richards and try to go by and see Brother Maloney on Wednesday if we can, and go on up. And I called this morning and Bess said he was doing pretty good, said he was a little better, and that the nurses thought he was doing better and everything. And she said that he seemed to be more alert, especially in the morning now, that he would, you know, be more, and said he was even waving at him and things, and kind of like that he was, you know, he knows what's going on now pretty good at some time. So just keep praying for him and just hold him up. But just remember that. And also now make sure you remember that on the Lord willing, on August the 6th, that'll be on a Saturday, Brother Theo Erasmus will be here with us. He's coming back from up in Brother Dan Daisley's and coming this way and be with us. May be here for the weekend, but we know he'll be here as of now on August the 6th. That'll be on Saturday, so we'll have a Saturday service that Saturday. Will start about 7 o'clock. So just remember that and just pray one for another. Revelation 4, verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and in the midst of the beast, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Let's all just pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your love, Lord, and for the day that we're living. And we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to realize realization, because that's what we're trying to get our own thoughts collected into that point, Lord, to see you not somewhere else, but see you here, making yourself manifest among us. And Lord, just guide us and direct us into that path, and just help us to understand. Be with those that are not here, Lord. You know the reasons, sicknesses and things, and whatever, Lord. If it's sin sick, then it's still sickness, Lord. We pray that you just bless each one. Have your way now with us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now I want you to think about something. I kind of got a thought here the other day to speak on Worthy. And Brother Dick came in there a while ago and sang in that song, Worthy. And I thought, well, Lord, you know, at least maybe I got the right title of the sermon, but have I got the right sermon, you know, for what I'm wanting you to see. And I look back at the scriptures, and that's why we read in Revelation 4. And, you know, you think about it. Why would it be that in this scene in heaven that in chapter 4 there in verse 11, verse 10, see, the 24 elders, everybody throws down their, you know, falls down before him on the throne and everything, cast their crowns and everything before him, saying, "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to receive glory, honor, and power." But then the very next thing happens in the scene. John begins to write, and he talks about the throne and the one, and, you know, shows one on the throne that they've just cast down their crowns, and then he sees a book in the hand of the one sitting on the throne, and then he hears a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who's worthy? Who's worthy to take the book?" Now, what are we dealing with? You know, do you ever think that away? Was this one that said it was worthy to receive honor and glory and things like that? I just hear preachers preach that kind, you know, and I'm not against them. I'm just saying it. I hear them say, "Well, here's one of them that was able to receive glory and honor, but he couldn't open the book." All right. I'm just a little bit too far up the road for that. That might have been good Baptist theology, but it doesn't fit today because we just believe in one God, right? See, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. We believe in one God, not Trinitarianism.
Amen.
This is not God in many persons.
Right.
This description, as I've told you, when you begin to look at it, by the time that it's happening here in heaven, is the rapture's already transpired, and you can't tell the difference between God and His people at this time. Because the throne is there, and one sitting on the throne, and the book is in the hand, and the 24 elders are there, and rainbows round about the throne, and you know, and then here comes, in a minute we'll see, and here comes a lamb as it's been slain and having seven horns and seven eyes, and that's the seven spirits of God, which is the seven church ages.
Right.
See? I'm wanting you to see something. I'm not trying to confuse you. We don't have to worry about that, all right? You know, I mean, I'm not trying to confuse you in your thinking. I'm trying to get you to see something because we're already confused. That's the reason we can't see one God. The reason we can't understand one God, we are confused. So it wouldn't hurt nothing to get a little bit more confused, would it? See, then I'm just trying to get you to look at something. This is the acts of a play and things going on. It's not a whole cast of characters and all of them different. Now, that's what I'm wanting you to see. Why would it say here in chapter 4, they throw down their crowns. They do everything, you know, everything that man's got, all these 24 elders, all the people that's around, everybody throws their crowns at his feet and says, "You're worthy." You're worthy to receive honor and glory and power. In other words, this is a picture of one true and living God.
Come on. Amen.
That's Almighty God sitting on the throne, right?
Amen.
I mean, that's Almighty God sitting on the throne.
Right.
This is not a lesser person sitting up there.
Right.
This is Almighty God Himself.
Right.
Well then, if he's worthy to do all these things, why would it come forth then in the next chapter and say, "We're trying to find one worthy"? See, that doesn't make your brain, you know, spin around and around a little bit and wonder, well, what's going on here? But see, I'm wanting you to look at the scriptures, then you can see it's in the scriptures. There's just one God, but there's many acts of the play, many manifestations of the same person, but yet there's just one person of God.
It's not multiple personalities or anything like that going on. This is the acts of a play.
Right.
This is showing the one true and living God.
Amen.
And by the time you get to this place, as I've tried to get you to see over and over, you can't separate God from His church.
Right.
See? Because that's the way it's showing Him. He'll never be separated again. He'll never be self-existing. Since God joined Himself with His church, He'll never be self-existing.
Right.
And anywhere you ever see Him, you never see Him by Himself.
Right.
You see Him existing with His people.
Amen.
Right? Now, I want you to think about it. See, why would He say, here's one worthy to receive power and glory and honor, and everybody throws down their crown to worship Him, and all at once something happens?
Right.
Does He become unworthy?
No.
You know? Is this a lesser person of the Godhead that's just not quite capable of doing the rest of the work? You know? Well, I guess that's the... I think if you was going to make Him lesser, you'd really be in bad shape. Because even a Trinitarian wouldn't make the Father lesser. He would try to make the existence of the Holy Ghost or the Son lesser than the Father. He'd have that much. And we know this in Revelation 4:1 is very God Himself.
Right.
Yeah. So don't think when you go to Revelation 5 that He says, well, hey, here, we can't find nobody worthy. See, this is the acts of a play showing you that the one that was on the throne, Almighty God, is worthy of all things.
Amen.
Right? But then something happened to a human element of people that required something to come into existence that would show us and would become kinfolks to us because it was asking for a man.
Right. Yeah.
See, we read it there. It says no man was found worthy.
That's right.
Huh? It wasn't an animal that was being asked for. Now, watch what I'm saying. It wasn't that the eternal God wasn't worthy.
Right.
The one on the throne had the book in his hand. He was worthy.
Right.
All right? That was God, right?
Right? Amen.
See, he was worthy. So what is this showing us? It's showing how that God then become down to become man.
Right.
I
believe
that.
Amen.
All right? So that's what it's showing us. God come down to become man, creating. I was going to read John 1, but everybody should know that. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then 1:14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. See? This is message number 3 of Matching Pieces, I think it's right. Is it 3? Yeah. Anyhow, just put worthy under it. Or you can write kinsman, either way you want to write it, because that's what we're going to talk about. See, the one on the throne was surely worthy. But in the manifestation of God that he was manifesting, or whatever you want to call it, his offices or whatever, he could not at that place bring forth the requirement that was being asked of. See? Because they was looking for a man.
Right.
Because man had fallen.
Right.
Man had sinned. See? Looking for a Redeemer to come forth. And see, then it would require that God Himself, the very one sitting on the throne, would have to come down and become man.
Right, right.
Right? See, a lamb. Right? See, then we're talking about one God. See, that used to be confusing to us when we was Trinitarians, wasn't it? Because we had all kind of persons running this way, and this one could go do this, and this one could go do that one could do that, and boy, we just thought we had the Bible. But come find it out, we had it all right. We had it confused. People say, well, Brother Dale, you confuse us a lot of times. No, I don't confuse you. I just expose our own ignorance of how confused we are. I mean, you couldn't think of a person being confused no more than to think that they was three gods or three persons of one God. There's no way anybody could be no more confused than that, because there's no way to sensibly, and they say it. They say it in their own books, that there's no way to explain the great Trinity. It just must be believed. You know the most educated people in the world are Trinitarians? Smartest, intelligent people in the world are Trinitarians. And there ain't no way, and they say it in their own writing, if you want me to get it, Brother Maloney and those guys, they, in their own writings, they say there's no way to explain the Trinity. You know. That it just must be believed. Well, see, the Bible says that the eternal Godhead can be understood by the things that are seen. Well, that leaves that out then. That makes that wrong, don't it? But you see, what I'm trying to get you to see is what this is doing is not showing that the Father is not worthy.
Right.
It's showing you the Father supplies the worthiness.
Right. He is worthy. Hallelujah.
Not that He created something different from Himself to become a son, as the prophet said, that you wouldn't have your own son to go to jail for you, you'd go yourself. So it wouldn't be something for God to say, well, I'll just send my son down and let him die. See, this is showing you that the very God Himself is going to make a way and form through that word the very vessel that would be needful to where it would supply the office or manifestation or whatever you want to call it,
right,
of God to come forth.
Right.
See, that's why I'm trying to get you to see one God. Brother, last night he said, we need to just preach Jesus. And I thought, oh God, wouldn't that be a good place to start on, that just read there in the scripture in Matthew where it says, Christ, whose son is he? And start right there. I said, wouldn't that be a great opportunity, you know, to start right on the basis that we need to talk about Jesus and then just ask you who Jesus is.
Right.
You know, and go through it that way. But now, listen, do you get what I'm saying? John says in chapter 4 that everybody in heaven admits here is one worthy.
Right.
Everybody in heaven says this one is worthy.
Right.
Everybody's casting their crowns down at him and everything because he's worthy. But then in the next chapter, he's looking for somebody worthy.
Right.
See? But now listen to what I'm saying about it. See, the very God himself then supplies the one to be worthy. Alright? Then we're not Trinitarians.
Right, right.
But see, we're not just oneness.
Right?
See, we say, well, I was just one here and then this one here. That's not oneness. Oneness is where the very one that was worthy, that had all the glory and the power and the honor, supplied the way.
Right.
Made the way. See? Created the way. Became the way.
Amen.
See? All right? See, and made a lamb.
Right.
All right? See, that's why it shows there. You remember the other week when we were on it, talking about God's nature? You see, we read it there, and we read it, and we talk about here, John said that he saw no man worthy, and then the elder says, John said, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and he looks to see a lion and see the lamb.
Right.
Hmm? See, it's the acts of a play, isn't it?
Right.
Before he can become your king, he's got to be your lamb.
Right.
Then it doesn't change his nature. We're not a people that are in a kingdom of lions. We're a people that are in a kingdom of a lamb. We're the lamb king. I want us to see that. I don't want us to get away from that point. That's why I'm talking about this. See, on that very one there came down and made a way, the one that was worthy, but yet is that manifestation as that being as he was, he could not at that position or part you want to call it, the acts of the play or whatever, he could not supply at that place the demand that was brought forth. So he had to do something.
Right.
He had to create a human vessel to come down to be the kinsman because it was calling for a man.
Right.
Wasn't calling for a lion nor a lamb. It was calling for a man.
Right.
Well, then it was a man that came forth, not a lamb that came forth.
Right. Amen.
The prophet said, now remember, he took the book. He said, it's not a lamb.
Right.
See, it's just in description of a lamb because it's the acts of a play. Yeah. And it's not a roaring lion.
Right.
So that's what I want us to get away from. The people of the message today are just roaring like everything. If you don't believe us, like Brother Johnny said last night, they say, if you don't believe me and what I'm preaching, you're out. You know, well, that's the way people's doing. That's the roaring of the lion, see? That's not a lamb. A lamb doesn't have that nature and that approach.
Right.
And we're not in a kingdom of lions, you get it? We're in a kingdom of lambs.
Right.
We're supposed to have the same nature as our king.
Right.
That's the nature of the lamb.
Amen.
You remember the prophet said he don't change his nature.
That's right.
He said he may change his way of, you know, unveiling himself, his way of showing himself, his immorphy, you know, his changing his form, his way to do it. He may do that, but it doesn't change his nature.
Right. Amen.
So right now what I'm saying is here's the one that the Bible says is worthy.
Amen.
Then they're calling for something else to transpire. We need a kinsman.
Right.
So now God, in very self, the very worthy one, begins to descend toward the human element, and as he does, he creates then the very vessel to become the kinsman.
Right. Amen.
Alright? He created a lamb. Why? Because that's what his nature is. The prophet said, even in his own life, thinking about him, so he said, I used to think God hated me and Jesus loved me. He said, well, I found out there's the same person. Well, did he find out that Jesus hated him? Now, which way did he find out when he found out there's the same person? Did he find out Jesus hated him? Because he said he used to think that God hated him and Jesus loved him. He said, no, I found out there's the self-same person. He found out that God loved him and Jesus loved him because they were the same. It was just the acts of the play. But I get what I'm saying. Now here's one that's worthy. Worthy. Meaning that you can do it. You remember how the prophet went through the kinsman? He said he's got to be worthy. He's got to be able to, you know, he said he's got to have the material to do it. Then he's got to be willing to do it. And he went through the different things telling us how that the one that would worthy would come forth. But a lamb then come forth. Now, I don't want to lay on this too heavily, but we will get back to it eventually. because I'm wanting you to see Jesus Christ right now. I'm talking about him. But that lamb that come forth had seven horns and seven eyes. In other words, I'll just put it plain to you. If this church don't birth a lamb, we better not birth a lion.
Amen. That's good.
If we don't birth a lamb, there's no matching pieces. Oh, we're going to give birth to an eagle. No, we're not. We're going to give birth to a lamb. Because if we don't, there won't be no lamb there, because that lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. It come down through seven church ages. That's the bride. That's God showing himself in bride form. As I said, he never separates himself from that. But now he's looking for one worthy. And as he does, then it says that the line of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. Now, who is that line of the tribe of Judah? That was the Lord Jesus Christ when he became flesh, wasn't it? Because that's who he was. He was the line of the tribe of Judah. He came, and if you wanted to call earthly, you know what we're talking about, because he doesn't have earthly lineages like that. But human lineages, or any form you take of it to check it through the scripture, he come from the tribe of Judah, because the promise was the light would always be with Judah. And he come from that to fulfill the scriptures that he was the line of the tribe of Judah. But did he come forth roaring as a lion? See, if you've read that one on the Prince of the House of David, you'll understand that you know that what they was doing back there, one group of people would look at Jesus and they'd say, Well, that can't be him, because he's supposed to be coming this way. He's supposed to come as a ruler, he's supposed to ride a white horse, he's supposed to take all these Romans and throw them off the world. He's supposed to do it this way. See, that's what one group of people was looking for.
Right.
Other group of people was looking for him coming another way. See, they couldn't figure it out because they couldn't get the matching pieces together. See, they couldn't see him match every situation. Why? Because they didn't understand the scriptures. Is that true? What was their trouble? Do you get it? What was their trouble, the reason they couldn't see that? Well, they didn't see the scriptures. Could that be our situation today? Could that be what's wrong with us in the message today? That we can't see the matching pieces? That we can't get everything together to see the one true and living God? Do we still see him with one eye hate and one eye love? No. What do we see him as? See, what do you see as the understanding of one God? But see, he become a lamb.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, he became a lamb because that's God's nature. Jesus Christ was very God himself, according to Isaiah 53, and had the very soul of God, the very nature of God, the very makeup of God. Why? Because he was God.
Yeah.
Right, we've heard that enough, but does it go down into us to really see, then what kind of a nature is God looking for today? Well, I'll tell you, bless God, I rule my church with a rod of iron. Nobody else gonna come in and say nothing around them. I'm walking tall in my place.
Oh, you know. Lord.
That don't sound like a lamb.
Right. Oh, my.
I'm just saying, what are we looking for?
Come on.
What are you looking for?
Come on.
Well, I think Brother Dale ought to be a little stricter on this or that or the other. Well, the other side's saying, Brother Dale will be stricter on you. So, I mean, see, I'm trying to get you to see what are we supposed to be looking for.
Right.
The prophet said it was a lamb in the garden.
Right.
Did you get that the other week there? He said it was a lamb in the garden. He said then, he said it would have to be a lamb all the way through and be a lamb in the end.
Right.
See? Like I said now, he's going to have to be a lamb to us because he's a coming king, not as a lion, he's a coming king as a lamb. It's the lamb that's coming back.
Right.
Hmm? Well, Brother Dale, why does it call him a lion though? Isn't he supposed to come forth roaring as a lion? Not in the form you're thinking that way. It's like I told you about the laws of the Medes and Persians. I keep going back to that. A king whispers a law as much law as it is if he hollers it.
Right.
Because it's his word, not how mad he is or his nature or way of speaking it. It's what he says.
Right.
Well, I know we'll bless God one of these days. God's going to look down with angry eyes upon this world and he's just gonna destroy the whole thing. I'll give you a quote from the prophet, you know. Well, what are you quoting? See, what's he saying? Go back and read and see if he didn't say the same eyes that once looked down with love would have to look down that way. Because of being turned down.
That's right.
Because of being turned down. That's what makes it to be that you see him with different eyes. Does his eyes change or is it really just our looking at him?
Oh my. Come on.
You know?
Right.
Which way is it? See, what I'm wanting you to see is that a lamb is what's going to have to come forth.
Right.
A lamb had to come forth. We'll get back on this later to where that we'll see that in the last days there's got to be a lamb come forth. The Son of Man is a lamb. I've preached that to you before. Now you know that. Over and over and over. Series is on. That's who that Son of Man is the Lamb of God. Which is the Word of God. Which is the Logos, the Theophany, the Son of God.
Right.
See? We've been over that for years. It's not a new thing to say it. The Lamb is the Son of Man.
Right.
The Word. And here it's asking for a man.
Come on.
Well, see, then God had to create a man.
Come on. Amen.
To answer the call.
Right.
Amen. And he did. He created his own flesh.
Right.
Said, a body thou hast prepared me. Stepped into that and became our kinsman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See? Coming here on earth as a lamb.
Right.
To be led to slaughter.
Right.
But do we look at him as a lamb to be led to slaughter, but coming back as a roaring lion?
Oh my. Come on.
What are we looking for? What are we dealing with when you're talking about one God? As I said, here it says one is worthy. Then in a minute it's looking for somebody that is worthy.
Right. Yeah.
That's acts of a play. That's something that's unfolding. That's God showing what he's doing.
Right.
And when this one walked on the earth as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, he was also the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Right.
That's who he was. It's not that he's going to come one of these days as a lion of the tribe of Judah. I know the beginning as the virgin and the last of Leo the lion. I know that. But also know that it refers to lion-hearted is what it's referring. It's not referring to the roaring of the lion. It doesn't change in nature. You don't make a nature change of the person.
Come on.
I thought we believed in one person of God.
Amen.
Turn down grace. The same law that you turn down is the same law that condemns you.
Right.
Do you remember that the other Wednesday night when we was on the difference in filio and agapo and all like that? And I even read you the definition of agapos, agapo, you know, agape. It says even the definition out of Strong's Concordance, it's talking about agapo is the very law that the law, the very love that the law speaks of.
Right.
And the law spoke of Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
The law prophesied of Christ. And the very one that walked on the earth was that very law made manifest.
Come on.
Not a book of rules. Neither is he going to come back carrying a book of rules. You won't meet a book of rules at judgment if we miss it. We'll meet the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Who is the fulfilling of all the law and everything.
Right.
Who is worthy. See, what we're seeing now is this one that was worthy produces the element to pay the price.
Right. Amen.
Right. And as it does, it's a lamb.
Right.
Lived on this earth.
Come on.
Amen. Walked on this earth. The man.
Come on. Hallelujah.
He didn't fight. Back when he was ridiculed.
Right.
His nature was a lamb. He didn't speak harsh back when he was spoke harsh to.
Right.
When they whipped him, he didn't whip back.
Come on.
He said, Father, forgive him.
Right.
Why? Because he was a lamb.
Right.
The lamb has no defense.
Right.
Well, Brother David, you think I'm supposed to just lay down, just take everything? It might be a good thing if we did.
Right, right, sure.
I'll just put it that way, huh? We'd probably be a whole lot better off nature-wise if we did.
Right. Yeah, right.
You know? Because you show me where the riling up makes your nature right.
Come on.
Because you know yourself, just like I am, when I rile up, you know what I got to do? I got to go repent.
Right.
Well, if I didn't do it to start with, I wouldn't have to repent. You know?
Thank you, Jesus.
I could just go on and forget it.
Hallelujah.
So then you show me where the riling up helps any.
Come on.
And my case is done settled. I don't have to worry about that. That kind of one of them things can't be argued with, ain't it?
Right.
But I'm trying to get you to see the Lamb of God, the nature of God is to be in each one of us.
Right. Amen.
We're going to have to give birth to a lamb.
Hallelujah.
To take the book for us.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. See, because this thing I'm talking about now, you watch it. I've been trying to get you to see the matching pieces. Whatever happens here happens there.
Right. Amen.
Now, we ain't going to get to it, I don't think. I don't know how far I'll go this morning with it or this evening. But if there's an opening of the seals there, there's an opening of the seals here. If there's opening of the seals here, there's opening of the seals there. That's why it's compared. That's why your pieces has got to match.
Right.
But see, the life has got to match.
Oh,
the life of Christ has got to match.
Amen.
All right. Now, do you see what I'm talking about? See, John saw a lamb coming into service. The elder said the lion of the tribe of Judah. Why was they seemingly different in nature? See, I don't believe they were. John looked, the prophet said, to see a lion.
Right.
Yeah. Why? Because the elders set a line. John looked to see a line.
Right.
But when he looked, he saw a lamb. Why? Because he saw him in his kinsman redeemer work. But listen now. See what he says, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now the elder said the Lion of the tribe of Judah had done this. Now get what I'm saying then. The Lion of the tribe of Judah had to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, or you got two persons working there in a hurry. You see what I'm saying? I took that a while ago because of the example. See, it says, we got one worthy. Everybody throws a crown on it. Everything says he's worthy. But then in a minute you say, well, hey, wait a minute. We need somebody worthy. That's not two gods, is it? All right? Is that two gods there?
No, it's what you know.
Hallelujah. It's a manifestation to supply the need that was called for.
Right?
Now, here, the elder says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed. He did. Who did? The Lion. The Lion prevailed. But when John looked at it, he said, well, let me see, in other words, let me see that Lion that's prevailed to loose this the book and the seven seals thereof. Let me see him. And he said, and I looked and saw a lamb. Now he was looking for a lion, wasn't he? He was told to look for a lion. He was told the lion had paid the price. Come on, church, I'm trying my best to get you to see one God. Amen. Preaching something to try to keep it from just being the same thing going over and over to, right, and everything. I'm trying to get you to see it from another angle.
Right.
See, I know when I get into something, I get on it, and I know it gets to a place sometimes you wonder, well, what's he talking about?
Come on.
See, I'm trying to change it into different ways to get you to see what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about the revelation of one true and living God.
Right.
The real revelation of it, not in Trinitarianism or oneness.
Right.
But into the revelation of seeing God made manifest.
Right.
That elder, he says there, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know what he was looking at? Now come on, what was the elder looking at? Was he looking at a lion? Was he looking at a lion? Every who he was looking at paid the price. Every who he was looking at had done the redemptive work. Sure, I know the elder being on the other side, he was looking at redemption already over.
Right.
Sure. John looking at it from the basis that he was crying for something, I know that.
Amen.
I've taught that.
Right.
See, but I'm trying to get you to see something from that story to see what's going on. When the elder said the Lion of the tribe of Judah, what was he looking for? What did that elder see walk out? John says what the elder saw.
Right.
The elder didn't see this line for a minute, right? You remember what the prophet said there the other week we were talking about? He said he was back in the throne making intercessor. He said he's not seen here in this scene now. You remember? And we went through it. That's what the prophet said about it. He said, where was he at? He said he was back in the throne. He said, now he proceeds forth. Who proceeds forth? The cry wasn't for a lamb nor a lion, it was for a man.
Right.
And when the Son of Man walked forth, because it was the Son of Man that was bloody, and the prophet said, this lamb was a bloody lamb.
Right.
He said, hacked to pieces at Calvary.
Come on. Amen.
Now, he was hacked to pieces at Calvary. It wasn't a lamb. It was the Lord Jesus Christ in his mediatorial work. But the elder was describing him as a form that he saw who he was, because that's who he was. He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He was telling you where the Redeemer was coming from. The elder was telling you the Redeemer was coming right out of the Word.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
One of them was seeing one thing, one another. They're both talking about the same person. The Lamb of God is the Son of Man, which is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. See, the prophet said, he said, well, I know Brother Dell over. He said, then the Zodiac, the first was a virgin, Lysa, Leo, the Lion, you know, his first coming. Said, I know all about that, but I know he also said that all that Zodiac can't be all true. See, I know a little bit too. See, because that's natural things you're looking at. We're not talking about the Zodiac. We're talking about the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God's true. The Zodiac ain't always true.
Right.
Because in the Zodiac, you've got the change of natures all the way through. It ain't the same person. You've got everything in the world existing in the Zodiac. You sure they want to type Christ in those things? I mean, I ain't never been able to. Maybe you can, but I can't get into those things like that and get into the cancer age and the different things like that and see Christ there. Now, I can see him as a Redeemer.
Right.
But not as the cancer.
Right.
All right? But see, we're not talking about the Zodiac. We're talking about the Word of God.
Right.
The Word of God says this elder says the Lion of the tribe of Judah is the one that died at Calvary.
Right.
And when John looks, he sees a lamb. Maybe he remembered when John the Baptist said, maybe he was standing there that day when John the Baptist got through baptizing and he said, behold, or when he was walking into the water, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Maybe John could remember that. Because he was looking for a kinsman. Don't you think John was looking for Jesus? I kind of believe he was, don't you? I kind of believe he was looking for him. And that's who he saw. When he described him, he put him into a symbolics.
Right.
But it's the same person. Same person. Alright? Now listen to what I'm getting at now. See, then the Lamb of God is the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Right.
Which is the Son of Man in his mediatorial work.
Right.
Which is the one that paid the price.
Right.
Which was the one that had the nature of God displayed on earth, that we don't have to wonder what God's nature is. We don't have to wonder how God wants us to be. We don't have to consider or ponder what it take to have the nature of God. Jesus Christ was that on display.
Right.
Because he was God. What's he expecting in me and you? The matching pieces of it. Now listen, you know what I'm driving at? Those matching pieces. We're looking up there to see something in heaven. But down here on earth 2,000 years ago, there was a lamb walked out to pay the price. to pay the debt. But he done a lot of things in his life before he paid that debt. You know? You know that he stood there showing. Now listen. This is the point I want you to get. Showing you that he's really worthy. He stood on this earth one day and he said, unless you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I don't think he hollered and screamed when he said that. He didn't have to. He didn't have to roar for them to listen to that, did he? See, if that's the way he had come, a lot of people would have accepted it. A lot of people would have accepted if he'd have come riding out there on some white horse, you know, with great swords slinging on his side and everything, hollering, I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, he'd had warriors everywhere. Yeah. But that wasn't the way he was coming. That wasn't the way he was coming. He was coming to bring God's nature into display.
Right.
He's coming to bring and show us what God wanted.
Right.
He wants our natures and our ways to be His ways.
Right.
He's coming back after a lamb. He ain't coming back after a lion. See, church, maybe you don't get what I'm saying. Brother Allen gave me the picture down there at the house. Brother Tomlin's got one of it now. It's a good picture. It's showing a lion with nail prints in his paws,
right,
with a crown of thorns stuck into his head and very pitiful looking eyes. It doesn't show him as the roaring king, you know, conquering the world, because that's not God's ways. But what? Who was that? Why was he worthy? Now get what I'm saying, you'll understand where I started off. See, he was worthy because he's God. Huh? But you know what I want you to see is really the Word brought into existence.
Right.
If you want to call it the element that paid the price. The person that paid the price, the element, the person, or whatever, the being. The Word brought it. That's why he could stand there and say, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Why? Because he's God himself. He wasn't a second person. He wasn't a third person.
Right.
He was God himself.
Right.
He was not just displaying God's nature, he was God's nature.
Right.
He wasn't just trying to show us how to act like God, he was God.
Right.
Very God himself.
That's
who the Lamb is. That's who the Lamb is. Do we believe him to be John 1:14? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, putting all our scripture together. We handled him. Because that was God himself. God himself walked upon this earth. They asked him many questions, said, what should we do with so-and-so and so-and-so? He says, now do this and do that. Soldiers asked him questions. If you've read the scriptures that I asked you to read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even soldiers asked him questions. They said, what should we do? He said, we'll do this and do this. Don't extract nothing from these people. Don't do nothing this way. You know, treat everybody right. Do good. To, you know.
Right.
Why? Because he was a lamb. But he was setting up a kingdom.
Right.
Of lambs. He was setting up a kingdom. See, that Word was what was being brought into existence. Because the Word is my kinsman. The Word is my kinsman. So I'm clean through the Word, the Bible says.
Amen.
Is that what it says? You're clean through the Word spoken unto you? Is that what Jesus said unto you? He said, go forth into the world now and do all of these things. Gave his apostles power over unclean spirits, cast out devils and everything, while he was still here. While he was still here with us. See, now one day we'll come back to that because we'll take the match in pieces. And we'll come through and see if we can find. I said one day we'll try to find out if we can find that same ministry. So now you know what I'm looking for when I'm talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ. You say, well, brother so-and-so, man, boy, he's roaring like a lion and he's got a following and they're just signs and wonders, the dead's being raised. Well, praise the Lord for the dead raised. The sick's being healed. Praise the Lord for the sick being healed. But why ain't you going with them? Because God ain't spoke to me. And it don't fit my way of seeing God's Word. Maybe they're right and I'm wrong, but it don't fit my way of seeing it. And God will have to speak to him and tell me to change differently. That's just the way I am. Right or wrong, I mean, at least I tell you what I am. And I tell you what I'm looking for. But listen, that lamb walked out there and he said one day, he said, I'm the resurrection. Don't you think people caught funny of him? You know, they laughed at him and all when he told them. Said, now, one time, you know, he said, why, the girl's not dead. She's just sleeping. Well, they laughed him to scorn. He had to put him out of the house, in other words, before he could ever raise a girl from the dead. Don't you think people just, no wonder they couldn't understand him. But did that change anything? Who was that standing there that said, I am the resurrection? Well, who would it be in the last days standing here upon earth that would say that? Right. Right? Who would it be? It would have to be the same God. Right?
In another form.
Right. In another form.
Seven eyes.
Mm-hmm. People. Okay? But now listen to what I'm driving. I want you to stay back there with me. Because I've always believed it. Brother Gary and I used to talk about this a lot years ago. I've always believed it. You got to see God in Jesus first.
Right.
You can't see God in yourself and then find Jesus. See, that'd make you the first person. That'd make you the revelation of the first fold. You cannot do it. You got to see God in Jesus. And get that right before you can see God in yourself.
Right.
Then when you do, you can begin to understand.
Right.
What's happening, what's taking place. See, then you know what to look for. But now you understand what I'm saying. That Son of Man walked on this earth. Walked right here on this earth. Fellowship right here with man as a lamb. Had nothing to fight with, no things. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. But he had the power to say. Now, what's what I'm saying? This one while ago that wasn't worthy. I mean, it was worthy, had all power and glory and honor. Is that Revelation 4?
Right.
Now here is one upon the earth that has power. Must be the same person. He said one day, he said, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world. He said, I've glorified you and I'll glorify you again. He had that glory right here. He had the power, he had everything showing who he was. He was worthy. That was Almighty God that dwelt right there in a human vessel called Jesus.
Amen.
Almighty God himself, not a second person. That was God himself. Just in another form. In a vessel. Walking upon the earth. As the Son of God. That's why he would recognize having a father. because he was fulfilling that office, form, manifestation, whatever you want to call it. And saying, I'm the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. You say, well, I believe that, Brother Dale. I just want to make sure we do. Well, I believe Jesus was God. So does the oneness.
Right.
So does the Trinitarian. Now which side are we on? They both claim he was God. Right? How many of you as Trinitarians claimed he was God when you was Trinitarian? How many of you that was oneness claimed he was God when he was oneness, see? We can make a lot of claims. I want to speak this afternoon on I know. These people say, well, I know that George Washington couldn't tell a lie. Well, they're a liar and he is both. So that's not what it's talking about. To know is a fact beyond anything that could be questioned. There's no way to change it. See? All right? Well, let's get this down. Do we know there's one God? Do we know the Lamb is worthy? If we do, we know he was God. He said, well, Brother Dale, sometimes I follow you and it's just as clear. And so then all at once you just flop me, turn upside down. Well, it's not me doing it. Yeah. I mean, irregardless, if that's what I believe, it shouldn't turn you upside down. You know, I mean, irregardless of what I say, if it turns you upside down, that's just what I believe. Yeah. It must be you that's upside down. We need to pray to get God to show us by revelation what the Word is talking about.
Amen.
So that's what I'm saying. Revelation 4 shows you this one worthy. But see, John didn't see that rightly.
Right. Amen.
Had he seen it rightly,
right,
if he'd have seen it in full understanding that you and I are supposed to see, come on. Had John seen it in full understanding, as quick as the proclamation said, we need one way, he said, there he is.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what he'd have screamed out, wouldn't you?
Right. Amen.
I mean, if you was there, they said, well, hey, Brother Gary's worthy, you know, Brother Gary's worthy, we know. And you see that. Then you turn around and somebody says, well, we need somebody. Oh, well, Brother Gary, you know. Oh, we need somebody to play that. What do you call it? Okay. Dobro. I can't get none of that right. Couldn't play it either. But you turn around and say, we need somebody to play one. Well, ain't nobody. Well, Brother Gary can play one. All
right?
See, that's what I'd say to you. Somebody come along and say, we need a song leader. I'd say, Brother Dick, just a song leader. What are you looking for one for? You know. But see, John evidently couldn't see this understanding fully. Because he's the one that's writing it. And he sees one worthy, so worthy till everybody, everything happens. They cast their crowns down before him, everything showing that he's worthy. Voices screaming, heaven just echoing with... Why didn't he say... When they come to the next chapter, you know, said, now we see the book in the hand of, you know, and then a cry goes forth for somebody to come and die. Well, he's worthy. See, what God is showing John is that he's got many manifestations. And John's not fully understanding. Maybe it wasn't his day and time to understand, but I believe it's time now to understand, don't you?
Right.
Don't you think today is the day of salvation? Today is the time to understand?
Right.
And what does he see then? A proclamation for one worthy.
quick as he sees that lamb, John's mind run back to earth, I'm sure.
Right.
He didn't jump up in heaven and start scattering around like mine does most of the time.
Come on.
He went right back to earth, and he remembered one walking out there that said, unless you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sin.
Right.
He remembered one saying, Philip, have I been so long with you?
Right.
Said, you're saying to me, show me the Father. Said, have I been so long with you?
Come on.
He said, if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Reckon John's mind, as quick as he saw that lamb, see, he knew who that was, didn't
right.
he?
Amen.
Like I said, he wasn't looking for a blatant lamb.
Come on.
He saw Jesus Christ in the mediatorial work.
Right.
He knew that he died. And he knew that he was crucified.
Right.
But maybe he didn't see him in his mediatorial work as he's now seeing him.
Come on.
Because John began to weep.
Right. Hallelujah.
As he sees this one.
Come on.
All heaven begins to rejoice.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it's sir. Because you're worthy.
Come on.
Read on down through the fifth chapter. See if it don't get down through there when it brings it down. Let's see, where was it? Verse 12. Verse 11. I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. And we got together on that the other day, and what did it wind up being instead of 150 billion or 15 billion or something? We still have trillions. Well, we got on into the trillions the other day talking about it. It's somewhere past the trillions. And all this group is hollering. And what are they saying? Saying with a loud voice, what?
Worthy
is the Lamb that was slain. Who was slain? See, John begins to look and see him.
Hallelujah.
In a form that he'd never seen him before.
Amen.
One day we're going to see him like that.
Hallelujah. Amen.
John saw him die.
Right.
John had experienced the new birth of from that death that he had received a life that had taught him now for 60 years in the Word of God. And now he sees something about God he ain't never seen before. But now here's what I'm trying to get you to see. I believe as quick as John saw him, his mind went right back to the earth and traveled those four Gospels. Because John is a prophet. And a prophet must have what he sees in the Word. Is that the understanding Brother Branham gave us?
Right.
And John's here for the purpose of writing this. And he wouldn't go write something that wasn't according to the Word. Maybe, let's take it for an example. Because I know Brother Branham said John was on Patmos for at least 2 years. Now you could write, as I was listening to Brother Richard Wilson the other day talking about it, you know, as slow as I am and everything, I could write the book of Revelations in a few hours, couldn't you? You that can type could type it off in just a matter of, it wouldn't take you sisters that could type real time, you, it wouldn't take you an hour to type the book of Revelations. Right? But it takes John 2 years to see it.
Right.
Did he see it all the first day and then 2 years thinking about it? Or did he see it all the last days and thought about 2 years before? I don't worry about it. But I'm just saying, what if he did see these things in parts? And God would just unfold something and just stop that scene and just hold it for a few days, for a few weeks, or maybe a month before it would ever continue. Because like I told you the other night, the book of Daniel, when I read the book of Daniel, it's one vision. It's just many different visions telling about that one vision, that one thing that he's trying to explain. So John, maybe he sees the Lamb. Maybe John comes back to human elements. And spends months on Patmos thinking about who he saw. what he'd just seen. See, being a prophet, he knows the symbols. So what does he see? He sees Jesus. You know, why was John on Patmos now? What was John on Patmos for? Wasn't he putting together the Gospels and the writings? You know, let's say that maybe he didn't even have any of the writings with him. You know, it wouldn't bother me. But a man's putting them together, he's got a pretty good memory. And John is sitting on Patmos daily searching those scriptures. And seeing who this is. Don't you think so? Don't you think he's searching through the scriptures to see who this Lamb is? Don't you think he can remember when he said, I am he? Don't you think he could remember when he stood there one day and he said, Lazarus? Maybe one day John was thinking there and he thought, oh Lord, how could this be? I'm seeing a lamb, a lion. I see one worthy and I write it and record it. And now here's something come forth says we need somebody that's worthy. But maybe his mind runs back to earth when Jesus stood there and he said, Lazarus, come forth. He sees a man that's dead, and he knows it even, it's recorded even of the soldiers that when he died at Calvary, they said, surely he was the Son of God. See, John's writing those books, putting them together for people to be able to read. That's what he's put on Patmos for. He was putting together the writings for everybody. The scrolls. He might have had him with him, but he didn't have to have him, if you understand what I'm saying. But God's bringing to his memory.
Amen.
And he's walking through the Gospels. Read sometimes the Gospels that way, and you'll find out you can walk through the land of Jerusalem. I enjoyed reading that Prince of the House of David. I don't know whether you did or not. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The reason I enjoyed it because it brought a lot of things to life that I had never been able to put together. Because it was a human being telling of the journey. Whether it be fictional or whatever it be, it doesn't matter. It brought something to my memory because I've never been there. Brother Tatum's been there, walked upon the ground. And I'm sure as Brother Tatum walked through there, I've heard him and Brother Mike and him tell about it years ago when they went. And they'd go down and they'd read certain scriptures, wouldn't you, to related the people in the tour or what you call it. When they would come to a certain place, they'd read scriptures related to that position. Well, they were walking through the land that the scriptures was describing.
Amen.
You know, they was getting double blessing out of it, wasn't it? See, to read the word compared to what was happening. Well, you know, I believe that's what John was doing. When he saw that lamb, he knew that was Almighty God. He saw, now I'm going to say this and we'll pick up his other. When he went to Patmos, he came back and the prophet said he wrote the three little Johns after coming back from Patmos. Now that's his word. And he saw love as no man ever described love in his life. That's what you call the love books of the Bible.
Amen.
He talked of love that no man had ever seen. And he so loved until he, the prophet said he just sat in his last days and say, little children, love one another.
Right.
Said he got where he couldn't preach, he couldn't go out, he couldn't do things. So he just sat there and say, little children, love one another. Why? Because he saw that lamb. And his nature was the same as the nature of that lamb. And as he did, he just displayed it.
Right.
And he said, love one another. Let's stand. Let Dick get a song. Let's sing that word that you were singing there a while ago. Let's just think on it, Brother Tom.
The commentary here says the fulfillment of the Messiah word church.
That's right. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. The fulfillment. See, we got to birth that lamb one day. Go ahead, Ruth. Let's just sing that worthy. If anyone has a need, look to him.
Worthy,
he's worthy.
Lord, you are worthy.
Is he?
Precious.
Is he worthy?
You're precious to me.
106.
Coming.
Think about it. If you have a need, just let him walk right off the pages of the Word.
So, Lord, I give all.
And just come to you and your sin.
Worthy, Lord, you are worthy. Precious, you're precious to me. Coming, soon you are coming. So, Lord, I give all to thee.
Sing it unto him and just think about it.
Worthy, Lord.
He said, you're worthy. Going down the crowns and said, thou art worthy, O Lord. But then as the scene unfolded, they said, we need somebody worthy. Here comes that same God in another form. Walks out to pay the price for the human element. They all scream again.
Coming,
to not only take the book,
you are coming,
but to loose the seven seals thereof.
So, Lord, I give all to thee.
One more time before we go.
Worthy, Lord, you are worthy.
Hallelujah.
Precious, you're precious to me.
Is he?
Soon you are coming. So, Lord, I give all to thee.
Think about it. Lord Jesus, we know that thou art worthy. And Lord, we just praise your great name, because as we read through the Gospels, we find not another God. We find not another person. We find not another personality. But we find your personality. We find your person. We find you, Lord. Displaying yourself as a lamb. The Son of Man. To pay the price. To pay the price. Lord, thou art worthy. You stood there one day and you said, Lazarus, come forward, proving who you was. But thou art worthy. Just bless us now. Bless the people. Bless those that are not here, Lord. As they hear the tapes and things, Father, just let them see that thou art worthy. That whatever we have need of, thou art worthy. There's nothing impossible with you, because you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. We just thank you for your love and grace in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.
Worthy, Lord.